Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Okay, let's get this one going. I'm kind of tired. I need some rest.
Oh, you're making me yawn just talking about it.
Yeah, you're making me yawn. You almost sounded like Eeyore for a second there, but you know he's not.
Oh, I'm not tired.
Sleepy. Rest. Rest. We're going to talk about rest. How about we do that?
I got to say, Joel, do I need to take an inward look at myself when Eeyore is my favorite Pooh character? It's not Tigger. It's not Pooh. It's not that rabbit.
Hey, we're all different. Some of us just have weird minds like you. And
didn't know if I should be concerned. So you had somebody mention something online about wondering if we've talked about resting in grace, I think was the phrase.
Yes.
We have talked about rest over the years. Of course, there's very little we haven't talked about in over 20 years of doing podcasts, even though we do kind of stay centered on what we believe to be the gospel of grace and the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Resting in grace. Let's dive into this, because I think they kind of made the comment that they've been hearing more about this in recent months or the last couple of years, and sometimes they get confused by it. I'm not sure of the specifics of what might have caused confusion about the topic, but we know God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
He is a God of grace.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should be confused about this. But religion, if they start sticking their hands in there on the topic, then that might confuse people.
Yeah. And I think what we'll share here is going to be our perspective on things. I don't know if there's a whole lot of different views within the grace community. I would imagine that within the church at large, there's probably a lot of different views on this, and maybe that's where some of the confusion is coming from. I really don't know, but let's just talk, we'll share some of our thoughts on rest and resting in grace, because the thing about grace is that it means that it's God's gift to us. Everything that we've received in Christ, we've received because of His grace. It's not because we've tried hard enough. It's not because we've done enough. We've talked about this a lot. I had posted on social media, if you're not trying hard enough, you may have just found the secret to rest. Because there's so many people that are struggling and striving and trying to be something or to become something for God, or because religion has taught them that they have to be something, they have to keep doing and trying, not realizing that everything that we have in Christ, whether it's righteousness and whether it's the sanctification and being a saint that we talked about last week, whether it's any of that, it's because of God's grace. And so we can rest because it's not about us struggling and striving. It's not about us trying to become something, because God has already made us something. He's already made us a saint. He's already sanctified us, set us apart unto Himself. He's already justified us and made us the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God. Not just made us just righteous, but He's made us the righteousness of God. He's gifted us with His own righteousness. And so that is something that we can rest in, rather than trying to become something, rather than living this Christian life trying to become something. And then we can live from that rest, knowing that we're already all of those things. We don't have to, there's nothing that we can do. There's nothing more that we can do. There's nothing that we did in the first place. It was all Christ, and so we rest in that. So, maybe we can start off from there and see what else we've got to say about this.
One of the most obvious passages that comes to mind for me is in Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. When I look up the word rest from that passage, it basically just means to get this, it means to rest.
Oh, imagine that.
Another word that gets used there is refresh, to take ease. Let me just mention this about a word study. You can do what you want with it. It comes from a word that means up, completing a process, which intensifies. Properly, it means to give or experience rest after the needed task is completed. So, you know, Joel, when you and I go out and mow the yard and rake up leaves or whatever, and we get inside, we're all wore out. We want to take a rest before we go back out and do anything else. But I think this could be applied to the work that was needed was what Jesus did at the cross. That's why he said, come to me.
Yeah.
And remember who he's talking to here too, who were under a burdensome requirement of the Mosaic law. If you're weary, you're burdened, you're heavy, I've got some rest for you. I think about Titus chapter 3 when Paul said, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. I think about Romans chapter 6, verse 1, when Paul, starting out in that chapter, he's kind of bouncing back, looking back at what he had just been talking about leading up to that throughout the book of Romans. Now, because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God, peace that we can experience, resting in his grace because of what Jesus did on our behalf. In other words, it's not up to us to try to work at becoming something. It's not up to us to try to achieve a certain status before God. It's not about our dedication and commitment to him. It's about his dedication and commitment to us through the grace that was poured out through his son.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot right there. You know, if only, you know, people would have that understanding and just know God in that way, that rest that they have. And speaking of knowing God, I looked up, in the past, I've looked up Psalm 46:10. This is one that people are well familiar with. It says, be still and know that I am God. Or another version says, cease striving and know that I am God. And I looked up the word be still or cease striving, and the Hebrew word is Rapha. It's not this. It's a different spelling. You know, we have Jehovah Rapha. It's a different word than that. But this word that's translated as be still or cease striving in the Hebrew, it means to sink down, to relax, withdraw, idle, to drop, abandon, forsake, let go, refrain, let alone, to be quiet, to show oneself slack. So give yourself some slack, you know. just drop, you know, relax, chill out. You know, we might say that's not the official definition, but you could say it today, chill out, relax, give yourself some slack, let go, stop struggling. Cease striving, be still, and abandon yourself to God. I like how comedian Ken Davis said it, lighten up and live. You can lighten up and just know him. I think that's what resting will do. We can know that he is God. We talked a few weeks ago about how this is, it's Jesus Christ himself. He's tangible. He's real. And you can know that God, Jesus Christ himself, you can know him. And when you're struggling and striving, sometimes that takes away from the ability to know that you really do know him and to be still and to cease striving and know that he's God.
Okay, so yeah, as you said at the beginning of the program, Joel, I think you'll get different perspectives, especially maybe wide perspectives from the church world as a whole on what it means to rest. Maybe not quite as much within the grace community, the grace movement sometimes, as it's called, but I still think that it comes down to not having to worry about where you stand with God. And I think when you and I first started talking about grace many years ago, one of the things that I shared with you is that God isn't angry with you. Mm-hmm. He's not angry with us.
Right.
He's not mad at us. He's not disappointed because we're not doing everything right. And so I think this message of the gospel of grace, and boy, you know, grace is one of those topics that in the church world as a whole, you touch on it a little bit here and there, especially around Easter, I think, maybe during a particular sermon series or something like that. And then they kind of go back to, it's still kind of all about you. It's still all about what you do. Mm-hmm. And then we work at trying to become whatever it is we think we're not, because we don't realize, as we talked about last week, we don't realize that we're the righteousness of God in Him, and that justification comes apart from works, apart from law, apart from what we do. The kinds of things that you just don't often hear in much of the church world. The phrase new covenant seldom seems to get mentioned, especially as it relates to the person of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus, stop and think about it. The Jewish people whom Jesus was talking to, who were burdened and in disarray at trying to do enough, because what were they doing with the Mosaic Law? Paul explained it in the book of Romans, especially in chapter 9, where he specifies that Jewish people were trying to do this law, this system, this collection of works. They were pursuing that in order to attain right standing with God, or attain righteousness. They fell short. Nobody ever came close, but they kept at it anyway, because they kind of had this special connection with God through this law. And the law, as God spoke many times through those old covenant, those Old Testament pages, God spoke many times about doing all of it, hearing the word, doing the word. You had to do it all. It was a curse. It was a burden. And so Jesus is coming along here and saying, hey, it's time to change your mind. It's time to repent from the path that you've been pursuing and do something different. He would be that different thing. He would be the one that would replace the law. Jesus Christ became the end of the law for all who would believe. And so this was for the Jewish people that he was saying these things to. But of course, many of us have had some sort of indoctrination, maybe just little tidbits of the Mosaic Law. But then, you know, there's other things that we mix in with it, more modern day things that are related to our culture and even our church culture. Mm-hmm. And so then we get kind of tied down thinking, boy, and then we get confused and we think, man, I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm doing enough. I don't know if I qualify. And so I think for us to be able to rest in God's grace that declares Jesus did everything necessary for us to be reconciled to God, if we can just lay claim on that, believe that, trust that, Jesus only died once. That would be my encouragement here to you here as we hand this back to Joel. But Jesus died one time. He's not going back and re-sacrificing because of all the little mess ups and wrinkles that we have in life. I think we have we as individuals, we as a Christian community, we have underestimated the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. And I just think that being able to rest in his grace, rest in what he did, that changes everything. And I don't know where else you want to go with this, Joel.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come up with new words to try to help people begin to relax in this thing.
Well, it's such an important thing, because I think so many people who do believe still seem to be lacking in this rest, in knowing that It's the grace of, and you know, like you say, the finished work of Jesus. He only died once. He really did only die once, and that was all that was needed. That was all that was necessary. And through that, that is the way that we've been justified. And it's through his resurrection, not through anything that we've done, that we've been made righteous, that all everything that we have is based on his death and resurrection, his finished work, his death, his resurrection. And so that does lead me to something that does confuse people, because I think even something I just said might be confusing because of how something is worded in Hebrews 4. Now, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it, for those who have believed do enter that rest. So, what I just said, I did say that there are a lot of believers who seem to be struggling with this idea of rest. And I think what we need to understand is that we who have believed have entered that rest. You are in his rest whether you know it or not, whether you feel like you're experiencing it or not. Because what the writer here is talking about, he says, the word which they heard did not profit them. He's talking about the people of Israel. And if you go back, I won't read the whole thing, but in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer talks about, he says, the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years. He's talking about a past generation of the Israelites who did not believe. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He's not talking about believers, you know, people who have already come to believe. He's talking about, you know, this writer of Hebrews. Now, this is my opinion. This is my take on Hebrews 3 and 4. The writer is writing to a crowd of people, Hebrews, Jewish people, who some have believed, and some haven't, and he's sharing the truth of the gospel, of the finished work of Jesus with them, and the rest that they can have. And he's saying, to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? This is the end of Hebrews 3. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so I believe that what the writer is talking about here is that the rest that can be had, you enter into it when you do believe. And I think many believers just don't understand that when they believe, they have entered his rest. It's the Jewish people that are being written to here who are kind of on the borderline. They've heard all this good news, but they're still, as you read, progress in this epistle to the Hebrews, you'll see that a lot of them are still clinging to the blood of bulls and goats. They've not entered into his rest. And in fact, he says here in Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Those of us who believe, so we're not in God's wrath of any kind of it. And we're not in his anger. Like you said, he's not angry with us. This was a past event. This was a past thing, exclusively the people of Israel. And so what the writer, I'll get to it here, what the writer's trying to say is that those who have believed have entered his rest. And those who haven't, those are the ones who have not entered his rest. And so as a believer, you are in the rest of God. You are there whether you experience it through experiencing your daily life or not. But if you would just know all these things that we've been talking about, that you are the righteousness of God through the finished work of Jesus, that God has done these things, then you can experience that rest in reality, just because you're basing it not on what you do, but on what he has done.
Well, and if you go down a few verses from where you were at in Hebrews 4, Joel, Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, consequently, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. So it's not a works thing here.
Right.
You rest in belief. You know, Jesus said, you've believed in God, but believe also in me. It's a simple thing. And this is more than just a catchphrase. How about the phrase, rest in peace? Oh, may you, somebody passes from this life and we say rest in peace. What does that mean exactly? It's just, you know, most people don't, it's just something people say. But in Christ, we do have peace and we do have rest. And it's in the here and now.
Yeah, and just real quick on that verse 9 there, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. I think that is what is confusing for people too, because what he's talking about there as the people of God, he's not referring to Christians, he's not referring to believers, he's referring to Israel. There remains, that's the context of all of this, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. He's wanting his fellow Hebrews to enter into this rest by believing in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The rest remains for them because they haven't entered it. And so the people of God here, he's not talking about believers. He's talking about the people of Israel who don't believe yet. And just as we wrap up here, this has been a long one, but one thing that I mentioned last week, a future podcast, we want to get your ideas, some religious things that people do and say, maybe some church-minded traditions that really aren't necessarily based in truth, just some maybe some ridiculous things that people do, or maybe just some things that you used to do because of religion that you unlearned some things and now you realized you didn't have to do that or be like that or say things like that. Share in the comments, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever you're listening, and if you can get those comments in before the morning of the 17th of January, 2026, and we'll record a podcast that will air on February the 1st. So if you can get those comments in, we'd love to have you to be part of the program that way.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.